Well, are you glad to be here tonight? Are you expecting something? You know, the Lord meets us according to our earnest expectation. And when we show up looking to get something out of it, hey, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Lord said, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And every time I think of that verse, I think of those birds. When they're little babies, they just open their mouths that wide. I mean, I didn't know they could get those beaks that wide open. They're like, I can take as much as you can give me, Mama. So that's what we tell God. God, I'll take as much as you'll give me, Papa. Hallelujah. And the Lord will meet us right where we're at. According to our hunger, if we just take the limits off. Oh, I'm supposed to be staying between these cones tonight. Y'all will see a miracle tonight if I stay between these cones the rest of the time. Praise God. Well, it is good to see everyone here tonight. And thank you again for making the effort to be here and to be a part of this, what I continue to call a significant spiritual act. And that's a little bit about what I want to talk to you about during my time tonight. I want to talk to you about the last act. The last act. I had the privilege this past Monday to go see what some of y'all might think is very odd, my first musical, my first play. I'd never gone into a theatrical performance like that one time in my life, and we were blessed with the opportunity to be able to go see something. So my wife and I and another couple went downtown and saw The Sound of Music. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I actually quite enjoyed it. It was a little long for me, 3 hours. When the intermission hit, I was like, wow, man, that was a short play. They said, that's the intermission. I said, doggone it. But I was actually enjoying it to a certain degree, and it was a blessing. But the next day, the Lord began to minister to me concerning that. And he began to show me that our life on this earth, in this body, is a lot like the time frame that it took for that play in comparison to the rest of the lives that we live. It was 3 hours, and I did some math. I'm 41 and a half years old. I proudly tell people I'm one of the youngest people in my church. Glory to Jesus. Amen. And I did some math. And I found out that I have been on this earth for about 363,000 hours. And found out that that little 3-hour play that I went to was just a small drop in the bucket in comparison to the rest of my life. But how many of you know that's what our life in this body on this earth is in comparison to eternity? So I want to talk to you today about the last act. How many of you know we're in the last of the last days? If the Bible said 2,000 years ago that we're in the last days, then we're in the latest of the last days there ever have been. We're as close as anybody has ever been to the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I believe many of us would agree that we're very close to that time. So guess what? If we are in that time, and our life is a lot like that play, then we've got just a few more chances, a few more opportunities to put on the best act, the best performance this world's ever seen. Amen? So I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that the Lord showed me regarding how a musical, a play, does correlate with our life on this earth. A.W. Tozer was quoted as saying this, "The spiritual world is the only real world." And because we got to understand that everything that is seen, that was created, came from something that is not seen. So the spiritual world is the only real world. This is just a play, if you would, with costumes, with props, with an audience. And I want to talk to you about what some of those things are today. This runtime is but a speck of sand in the beach of eternity. It's just a short little time frame. And the Bible teaches us this in many different analogies, in many different parable forms. James said that our life is but a vapor that appears for a while and then quickly vanishes away. Breathe out right now. Now, we can't see our breath in here, but just as quick as you see it, it's gone. That is how short our life is. The Bible also teaches us that isn't your life like a blade of grass or like a flower in the field that springs up for a little while, but quickly is mown down. It's gone. And we need to continuously remind ourselves of how true that is. Because I'm of the persuasion that if you really understood that, that truth didn't just live in your head, but it lived in your heart, it would change the way you lived your life today. The things that are important to you might not be so important to you. Because you understand, you've never seen a hearse carrying a U-Haul. You're not going to be able to take anything with you. None of the things of this world mean anything except what you do that impacts eternity. And I heard a story of a minister one time. He was sitting out in a park. He was in a major city, and he was sitting out in a park, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "Son, what do you see?" And he looked out there and he said, "Well, I see an airplane. I see some buildings. I see some cars there on the interstate." And the Lord asked him a question and said, "You want to know what I see?" And he said, "Yes, sir." He goes, "I see people in those cars. I see people in those buildings. I see people in that airplane." See, that's what God sees. That's what's important. Not these things that we think are so important and we hold near and dear to our heart. What's important is people, is relationships, what impacts eternity and who we bring with us into the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? Amen? So let's talk about a few things that are involved in a play, in a theatrical performance, and how they correlate to our life. First of all, in order to have a play, you've got to have props. Meaning what? You've got to have a set, and you've got to have all the different things that are on there in order to have a good performance, right? Well, all of these things that I've just described to you, like the cars, like the trees, like all these different things, they are just props. They have no eternal significance. And what's interesting about this is, I heard this story before about these two guys that were supposed to be testifying about all the things God had blessed them with and how God had prospered them. And they were all talking about the things they had. And this one guy was just bragging about all the things he had. He had more than the rest of the guys. And finally, one of the other guys got fed up about it and said, "Well, big deal. Your pile of ashes will be bigger than mine." How many of you know that's true? Amen? Because doesn't the Bible tell us all these things are going to melt away with fervent heat? Amen? And the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said that all of men's works, the things that we do, are going to basically be tried by the fire. And all the things that are wood, hay, and stubble are going to be burned up, never going to be around again. But those things that are gold, silver, and precious stones, those are the things that will endure the fire. Those are the things that will last forever. And those three things I would describe this way. The gold, silver, and precious stones would be those that are done, those things that are done in love, those things that are done by faith, and those things that are done being led by the Holy Spirit. That's all that's important. When the Lord leads you to do something for somebody, through love, through faith, whatever it might be, when you act on that, there are spiritual treasures being laid up that are the only thing that are going to mean and amount to anything beyond this life. And we need to be reminded of that to see how significant this life is. So we've got the props. We've got the things that we're surrounded with, and they're important. And then God cares about them. In this life, many of these things are important. Many of us would be living out on the street if we didn't have these props, right? So they're important in this life. But we don't need to hold them so close to our heart that they're too important to us. We need to understand people are important. And that has a lot to do with what we're doing here tonight. Making an effort to get out of our, you know, our little box and get together with other people that we don't usually get to worship with. This is the last act. This is the stuff that we should be focusing on. Amen? But not only do you have the props, what else do you have? You got the costumes, right? Now, how many of you know what the costumes are? It's these bodies we live in. right? You understand that what you look at in the mirror when you wake up in the morning is not the real you. The real you is the hidden man of the heart, the spirit man on the inside of you that the Bible says is being renewed day by day. That's the real you. And the good news is the Bible says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing. How many of you know the outward man's perishing? How many of you looked in the mirror this morning and got a revelation of that? Amen? You know, everybody's doomed to get the same disease. You know what it's called? Chester drawer disease. It's when your chest doesn't drop down to your drawer. That's going to happen to everybody. Amen? So even though the outward man's perishing, the inward man is being renewed. You know what that means? On the inside, I'm looking better and better every day. Hallelujah. I ain't got no bald spot in there. Glory to Jesus. I got some Goldilocks, baby. I'm looking good. I tell people in the spirit, I'm a spiritual stud. Hallelujah. Y'all familiar? When I was a kid, we used to have these toys I used to play with called He-Man. Any of y'all familiar with He-Man? They were buff, you know, and they just only turned their body out. That's what I imagine our spirit looking like. I look like a little He-Man on the inside. Hallelujah. Super strong. Super at peace. Super full of joy. So blessed. That's the way we look if you've been born again. The very image of Christ. But this outward man is just a costume. It's just what we need to exist here on the earth. And you got to have a body to exist here on the earth. But listen, when you die and breathe your last breath, the Bible says when the spirit leaves the body, that's when death occurs. Right? So the only thing that's going to matter in that day is not how you beautify this. It's going to be how you beautify this. What goes on the inside. Amen? Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and let me show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. And you might be thinking, where are you going with this, Pastor? Well, just hold tight with me. You'll figure it out. It has a lot to do with what we're doing tonight. Amen? Glory to Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, the Apostle Peter, in describing his body, he called it a tent. You remember that? He referred to this body of his and just said, this tent that we have. You know, he was talking differently than most of us talk. We talk about like this is us. He was talking about this is just my tent. Now, you know, some of us got older tents. Some of us got young, beautiful tents. Some of us got white tents. Some of us got black tents. Some of us got all different kinds of tents. But how many of you know, if you look at it from that analogy, what's important is not what your tent looks like. It's what the person that lives in the tent looks like. Amen? So we need to be reminded of that because the Bible teaches us over in Galatians chapter 3 that in Christ Jesus, there is neither slave nor free. And it goes on to say there's not even male or female. Do you know in the spirit realm, you're not even male or female. Glory to Jesus. So if that's not even recognized in the spirit, then how much more is our race, our culture, all these different things? So as born-again believers, listen to me now, you shouldn't hold too much value to even your lineage and where you come from. In the spirit, there's really only two races on this planet. That's right. Children of God, children of the devil. There is no in between. That's why we've got to fight for this. What we're doing tonight, amen? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is a very near and dear scripture to me. Let's look in verse 16. It says, therefore, from now on, say from now on. What does that mean? From right now and on. This is the only thing we should be considering. We regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. So what is this scripture saying? We are not to judge anything. We're not even to act and behave like anything according to the flesh. And that's not just talking about sinful carnal behavior. That's talking about anything of the flesh, anything of this natural temporal world. We don't judge things according to that. Obviously meaning we shouldn't be judging somebody by the color of their skin, their economic background, anything like that. The only thing that matters is what's going on in the spirit man. Amen? And I love what it goes on to say is happening in the spirit man. Look at verse 17. Therefore. Now, when you see the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. Therefore, since we're not judging anyone according to the flesh anymore, and we have known Christ according to the flesh, but we don't know him that way anymore longer. Therefore, if anyone, say anyone. If anyone, doesn't matter what they look like, where they come from, who their mom and daddy are, if anyone is in Christ, say in Christ, he is a new creation. One translation says a new species of being that never existed before. We're one of a kind. Hallelujah. So he's a new creation. And notice what it says. Old things have passed away. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah on that. That your past has been washed away, separated as far as the east is from the west. All these things, it's dead. The old man's dead. And then he says, behold. Now the word behold means to look, right? But the kids today use a different phrase for it. They say, and check this out. That's what Paul's saying. And check this out. It's a word that's saying, watch this. This is so awesome. Too good to be true news. Check this out. All things have become new.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to Jesus. Now, listen, in case you hadn't figured it out yet, when you were born again, if you were bald before you were born again, you're still going to be bald after you were born again. If you were fat before you were born again, you're still going to be fat. If you were stupid, you're still going to be stupid. Those things are not the things that he's saying passed away. What are the things that passed away? Must be talking about spiritual things, not things of the flesh or things according to the soul. So all those things have passed away, and everything has become new in that eternal, immaterial, spiritual part of you. And the next verse goes on to say, and all things are of God. Of God meaning out of him. So when we've been born again, everything that we've been born of is out of our Heavenly Father. And the Bible goes on to say in 1 John chapter 3 that we know that if somebody's born of God, they will not sin. They won't continue in sin. Why? Because his seed remains in them. So if we've let all the kids go out of here, the word for seed there is the Greek word sperma, where we talk about the seed of man. Amen? Now what comes from the seed of man? The DNA of the man. So that means if I've been born of God, if I've been born of my Heavenly Father, spiritually speaking, I have God's DNA. I got God's eye color. I got God's hair color. I look like him. You want to know what God looks like? He looks like this. Hallelujah. Some of you out there thought, God forbid. But I believe this, if you could do one of those visual effects where you put faces on top of other faces, if you took the face of every person that's ever existed on this earth, you'd have the face of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We're made in his image and according to his likeness. That means I am like God. Not in my behavior, not in my actions necessarily. We fail, we fall, we make mistakes. But the good news is in our spirit man, all them things have passed away, baby. In the spirit man, I look like God. Hallelujah. So the spirit of a man is the actor or the actress. The body of a man is the costume of said actor or actress. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why we have these things that we're operating in today. Glory to Jesus. Amen. So, let's talk finally. Let's go over to Hebrews 12:1, and let's talk about the audience. We've talked about the props. We've talked about the costumes. Now let's talk about the audience. Did you know that just as my wife and I and our friends were sitting up in that balcony watching that performance, that the Lord showed me that's exactly what goes on in heaven? Did you know you're being watched? You're being watched. Those that have preceded us are watching us. And I'm not getting into a big theological debate about that. I know people got their own opinions, but I'm going to read you scripture here that shows you and I that there are cloud seats in heaven, and we're being watched. In fact, not watched in critiquing us, but watched in rooting us on. Just like some of you are rooting the Falcons on, rooting the Bulldogs on, you've got saints that have preceded you that are rooting you and I on. Amen? Look here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, this was after Hebrews' Hall of Faith. You know where he said, by faith this one did this, by faith that one did that, and he mentions all these different people. Then in 12:1, you know, the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. This was added for reference purposes. But so he's just continuing on, and he says, therefore, we also. So now he's talking about us. I've been talking about all these other saints, what they did by faith. Now I'm going to say, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So this analogy is being used, describing that there is an arena, and the set, the track, whatever analogy you want to see, is what's going on in this earth. There's a race going on. And there is a cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us, watching us, rooting us on. And when the Greek word that's used for cloud here was the same word that was used back then to describe the cloud seats in Roman auditoriums or in stadiums, in the Circus Maximus or something to that effect, right? The cloud seats. We would call them upper deck seats. So we've got people up there. We're down here performing. And we got people up there saying, you know, after the play was over and stuff like that, I was joking around with Shannon. I go, that was beautiful. We got people doing that for us right now. When you do something by faith, you do something in love, and you do it led by the Holy Spirit, you have the saints of heaven going, bravo! Good on you. That should inspire us. That should provoke us. If you have a loved one that's preceded you and gone to heaven, they are rooting you on. They have not ceased to exist. They are not past tense. They still are alive. And they would not want you, I'm meddling now, they would not want you to continue in that state, in that pity party, feeling sorry for yourself, turning the blinds down. The Lord would inspire you to get up. Your loved ones would inspire you to get up. Perform again. Pick up that mantle and do something with it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I said it this way, that not only do we have these witnesses that have gone before us, the saints of old, you know, you got somebody else watching you. The angels of heaven are watching you. The Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12, it talks about how we've been given the Holy Spirit, and we have been given these exceedingly great and precious promises, that God has done so much for us that even the prophets of old have searched about these things coming to pass, and these things are what we are experiencing today. And then it goes on to say, things which angels desire to look into. And the word that's used for desire there is the word that's used for lust. Now, we always associate lust with bad things, but sometimes there's a desire for godly things, for good things. So I picture the angels being like a little kid that's leaning on that balcony watching the performance going, wow, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. That's amazing. Because what you and I have is amazing.
Amen.
What you and I have is eternal. What you and I have is something no other saint has ever experienced. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, Jesus said this. He said that there was no greater prophet that ever arose than John the Baptist. Now, to me, when I read that one time, I was like, surely not. I mean, I know John did some good things. But what about Moses? What about Abraham? What about all those? I was flabbergasted at that. But being the forerunner of Jesus, that's an awesome opportunity. But then I got even more blessed when I went and read on the rest of the verse that it says, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than even he. So let me ask you a question now. Who's in the kingdom of heaven? We are. The kingdom of God is within us. We are now today in the kingdom. So guess what? Even if you consider yourself the little pinky toe of the body of Christ, you are still greater and have more than even the greatest prophet that's ever existed from the Old Testament, because of what we have in Christ, because of what's been invested in us, the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Amen? Amen. This is a race. And that's what the writer of Hebrews describes us at. He describes us as a race. So I wrote this little statement down. Our life in this body is like a 90-second race in comparison to a 90-year life. And it's, of course, you can't compare something to eternity, but just to get a revelation of that, that's how short this time is. So we are in the final act. So your question might be, what does this have to do with tonight's Unity service? Well, you know one thing that's absolutely vital for us to have a good performance? You got to have harmony. You got to work together. All those actors and actresses playing those parts, they got to know when to come in, when to step back. They got to know when to hand off, when to hand over. They got to know when to do it, and they best be in complete harmony, in one accord. Now they, when they prepare for those things, they go through many run times of that. They do a lot of rehearsals. The only difference between them and us, we don't get a rehearsal at this. We got one shot, baby. One time, one effort to make this performance everything God has designed for it to be. Amen?
Amen.
Now, one of my favorite movies is the movie Gladiator. First time I ever saw that movie was during Christmas. I call it my favorite Christmas movie, Gladiator. Amen? And he says on there, Maximus had this statement, and I love this statement. He says, he was exhorting his soldiers, and he said, men, what we do in life will echo for eternity. What we do in this life will echo for eternity. So I'll leave you with this tonight. What will your curtain call look like? When you breathe your last breath, when you stand before the Lord, when you see all these saints in heaven, what will be said to you? Will you have a bravo? Or will you not? Learning to work together with one another, learning to have harmony, and absolutely shunning strife and division and all these things that the devil tries to bring up and stir up in our midst time and time again, eliminating that is one of the most important pieces to having that bravo. So will you be able to bow before the Lord and say, thank you. When he tells you, well done, good and faithful servant, today, this is my only begotten son. Amen. In whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved. I love them. And they have served me well. I'm here to tell you today, the way you serve him well is by learning to serve one another well. That's from the Spirit of the Lord right there. You serve him well by serving one another well. So do not devalue or underestimate your time in this costume with these props and before this audience. Know that you got one shot at it. Make it count for all eternity. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, I want to invite Bishop up. We're going to tag team. Praise God. Come on up, brother. I said, when we talked about doing this, I said, I'm preaching first because I am not following you. I promise you that. Amen. Bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Love you, man.
Amen. Praise God. Come on, give the man of God a hand clap. The Lord for using him mighty. If we've got the time, and I hope we do have the time, I'd like our praise team to come up real quickly. We prepared a song for this occasion, and it's going to bless you. It's going to also continue to set the tone for what Pastor Dickerson has come here and done tonight. Isn't that awesome? I said, wasn't that absolutely awesome? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I must live my life different now because I'm being washed every day. And this is the final act. I said, this is the final act. I need y'all to move quickly. We got to move quickly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But we're so grateful to be here in the house of the Lord today to worship God with you in spirit and truth. We have been excited about this. I was astounded as Pastor Dickerson was praying the prayer at the beginning, the confession, and the Lord had me to write a prayer to give to the saints there at Christ Temple. And some of the things that he said was the very same thing that we were encouraging the saints there to say. So because the Spirit is one. I said, there's but one God. Father of all, above all, through all, and in you all. Come on, one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Come on, there's only one church. Oh, hallelujah, one church. Hallelujah, one Savior, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Didn't the praise team all do wonderful? Amen, praise God. The combining of the music ministries and the voices harmonizing and just lifting up the name of the Lord. And I felt the presence of God. How about you? You know why we felt the presence of God? Because the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. The one translation says he is enthroned in the praises of his people. So when we begin to praise God, God comes and sit on the throne of our praise. You know what he does on a throne? What does a person do on a throne? They rule. They rule, they give commands, they take charge. And that's what we want the Holy Ghost to do in this meeting, is to take charge. And if we want him to take charge, we got to praise him. Hallelujah. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's about him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It all begins with one. It all begins with one. Hallelujah. To have 100%. It all begins with one. It all begins with one. And that's what the Holy Ghost is saying to us in our sincere, humble surrenders to the will and purpose of God in the earth, that we would become one. Jesus prayed in John 17 that, Father, that they would be one. Even as I and the Father are one. Somebody shout one. Oh, that's the heartbeat of God for his body, for his people, that they would become one. One. I'm going to read my text to you tonight. Amen. And I've got it in a translation that they may not have, but I'm going to be able to read it right from the text for you. First, we're going to come out of Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12 through verse 14, and this is coming out of the New Living Translation. And here's what Paul began to write to the Colossian church. He said, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Transferred us from one kingdom to another kingdom. Amen. And then we find in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 19 through 21, also in the New Living Translation, it says, Paul says, so now you Gentiles,
So now you Gentiles, and I'm looking at a house full of Gentiles. Everyone that's not a pure Jew, if you cannot go on this new ancestry.com, amen, and send in your DNA, and it doesn't trace you all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then you're not a Jew. So if you're not a Jew, that means you are a Gentile. And Paul writes to the Gentiles. He says again, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Oh, somebody ought to shout, thank you, Jesus. You are now part of God's family. Together, somebody shout together. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. We are carefully being joined together for a holy temple for the Lord. He now inhabits the body of Christ. Amen. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God now dwells inside of you, and he has taken you and he's taken me and he's joining us together and he's building. I want to do something, and I don't know if we'll get a chance to do that, but I want to do an illustration. But he's building a house, amen, that he can dwell in, and he's using stones, amen, and he calls you and I lively stones. He didn't say bricks, he said stones. You know why he didn't say bricks? Because bricks are man-made. Bricks are a cookie cutter. The first brick looked like the last brick. Come on, somebody. But a stone, amen, all stones have different shapes, color, and sizes. Hallelujah. So he's taking your stone and my stone and their stone, his stone, and putting them all carefully, putting them together to build him a place of habitation. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you don't get to pick which stone you're going to be beside either. Woo! He's doing the leg, the stones. He's putting us together. Carefully. So you ain't got no say so. If you don't like being inside that stone, you're gonna be miserable. Why did he put me here? Why did he put me beside them? Why did he put me beside her? No, he's doing it. He's doing it. Aren't you glad? I wanna preach to you just for preach. Don't talk to you. Amen. Fireside chat. Amen. Here, Paul again writes about citizenship. Citizenship is the common thread that connects all Americans. East side, north side, west side, south side, amen. Georgia, Florida, Alabama, California, New York, Maine, Utah, Colorado, Texas. Citizenship. It's the common thread that joins us all together as citizens in America. Amen. We are a nation bound not by race or religion, but by the shared value of freedom. Freedom, liberty, and equality. Throughout the history of this nation, the United States has welcomed newcomers from all over the world. And aren't you glad? Because if they didn't, none of us would be here. Because the Native Indian was here first. But it has been the contribution of these immigrants that have come to this great country, that have helped shape and define the country that we now know today. More than 200 years after our founding of as a nation, naturalized citizens are still an important part of our democracy. Hello, somebody. This is one of the big issues in our politics today about immigration. Should they be kicked out or should they stay? Well, it ain't gonna get no. See, I know how you want to start a fight. Just talk religion or politics, you can get a fight quickly. Amen. But by becoming a U.S. citizen, you have a voice in how our nation is governed. By becoming a citizen, it gives you now legal rights in the nation. Are you with me? For an adult immigrant to become a U.S. citizen, he or she must go through the process of naturalization. Naturalization simply means the admittance of a foreigner to the citizenship of a country. Along with this is a filling out various forms that the individual must be, one, 18 years of age. They must be a lawfully admitted green card resident of the United States. They have to be a permanent resident for 5 years if they are single, 3 years if they married a U.S. citizen. Watch out, ladies. Watch out, men. There are some folk that just want to marry you to get into the nation, into the country. You really don't mean a whole lot to them, but you are a open door. You are a bridge over. You are my way into the nation. They must have demonstrated continuous permanent resident in the country. They must have demonstrated physical presence in the country. They have to demonstrate good moral character to become a citizen of the United States. They must demonstrate an attachment to the principles and ideals of the United States Constitution. They can't come in and want to be a citizen and hate the Constitution. You can't come into church and hate how God runs the church. I'm giving you what is required for one to become a citizen of this great country. It said they must demonstrate an ability to read, write, speak, and understand basic English. They must demonstrate a basic knowledge of U.S. history, government, and civic principles. And last of all, they must take an oath of allegiance to the United States of America. I pledge to defend, to protect, to support this country, this nation. Come on. All of that to become a citizen of the greatest nation, arguably. I learned that from the sportscasters. Arguably. The greatest nation on the planet. Amen? And as wonderful as America is, in America, as well as in other nations or kingdoms of this world, there abides, according to Apostle Paul, two kingdoms in that nation or that country. He describes those nations as the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. There are spiritual kingdoms. Whether you be from the UK or whether you be from Europe, whether you be from Australia, whether you be from South America or below North America, in each of these nations and countries, there's two spiritual kingdoms. And according to the word of God, because of the fall of our forefather, and I said our forefather, Adam, because from one
blood made all he nations her people. Hallelujah. All of our forefather, all of our great, 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 great.
That's a long great.
Granddaddy Adam, because he fell into sin, a tragic thing happened. All of his offsprings fell under the same judgment and condemnation of sin. But aren't you glad that there was a loving God that would not leave man in the state and the condition that he was? And he says in Genesis 3:15, he told the serpent, the one that beguiled the woman, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Thou shalt bruise his heel, but bless God, his heel is going to bruise your head. Hallelujah! What you usurp, what you stole from man, he's going to get it right back. The first prophetic utterance of the coming Messiah, the coming Christ. How y'all with me tonight? I'm going somewhere. If you stay with me, we're going somewhere. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus comes by prophetic utterance of prophets of his glorious coming. And in it, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, the rule, shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, and of his the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. God said, my passion will perform this. My determination will perform this. My zeal will perform this. And the Bible says, amen. It says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel will stand and I will do all my pleasures. I'll call the ravenous bird from the east and the man that will execute my counsel from a far country. Have I said it? Will I not do it? Have I not spoken it? I will also perform it. Hallelujah. Look out, devil. There's coming a seed that's going to crush your head. Hallelujah. He's going to crush your head. Notice he told the serpent, he said, the seed of the woman. But a woman don't have seed. A woman has an egg. It said seed because it was telling you the gender of this one that was going to come and bring victory back to mankind. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Hallelujah! The seed was Christ, Paul said. And he said, the seeds, when he spoke to Abraham, he said, of seed, not plural, but one. And that seed is Christ. What are you preaching, Bishop, tonight? I'm talking about the power of one. Because the Bible said, by one man's disobedience, many became sinners. Come on, for all have sinned. It don't matter from what side of track you live on. It doesn't matter from what nation you're from or what continent you live on. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah.
And the wages of sin is death. But, thank God for but. The word but simply means cancel out everything I just said. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah! Eternal life through Jesus. That's the final act. I want you to know something tonight, that if you're in Jesus Christ, you're in the final act. You're in the final act. You're in the final act. Woo! Lord, have mercy. 60-year-old man shouldn't be acting like this. Hey, say that again. I got that. I feel that. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know, but y'all quote that scripture daily. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Yeah, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't want to just look like He-Man on the inside. Hey, glory to God. Glory to his name. Bless his name. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. But the key was the opportunity and the desire to be a part of this new and coming kingdom, this new and coming government. God would want to show us how difficult it would be, and how it wouldn't be an easy transaction. It wouldn't just be a pop of the finger that would require something great to transpire. And the great thing that transpired was Calvary. I'm happy to join with you tonight to reflect on what has gone down in history of time and eternity forever as the greatest demonstration of love and freedom in all the world. Huh? Calvary. 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 The cross, the old rugged cross where the Savior suffered, bled, and died. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He wanted to show us how this translates. Listen to what he said, my brother. He said this. This was, again, prophecy going into the future. He said, thus saith the Lord, keep judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come. It ain't here yet, but it's here. It's near to come. And my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold upon it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. Come on. Amen. And keepeth his hands from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger, we read about a stranger. Now, why is Isaiah prophesying this? Well, to really get the real gist of why he's saying that, you have to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 23, where Deuteronomy chapter 23 says, Moses writing, he said, he that is wounded in the stones, he that is wounded in his private parts, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. He couldn't go in. They were forbidden up to 10 generations. So if a person was born illegitimately, they couldn't go in and worship. They couldn't experience the wonderful, full power and pleasure and presence of God. They had to stand on the outside, looking through windows and hoping, could I one day go in there? Can I one day experience what they're experiencing? Can I feel that? Can I drink some of that? Can I eat some of that? Can I experience some of that? And the answer was no. Because he that is wounded in the stone or have his private parts cut off, could not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So the eunuch was hopeless. And so they went through life with no hope. But all of a sudden a voice comes from heaven. I say a voice comes from heaven through the mouth of a prophet. And he says, neither let the son of the stranger speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. You understand that too, right? No more sap? Okay. Then he say, for thus saith the Lord unto the eunuch that keeps my Sabbath, that choose to do the things that pleases me, that takes hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring into my house, into within my gates, and I will give them a name better than that of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, get God's pawn, that shall not be cut off. God's got a sense of humor. He said, you might have got cut off in the natural, but you won't get cut off in the spiritual. Hallelujah. In the spirit, you can have sons and daughters. In the spiritual, you can go out and evangelize a lost and dying world. Amen. And see sons come to the kingdom of God. See daughters come into the kingdom of God. Why? Because you are not able to produce in the spirit. He said, also the sons of the strangers that join themselves unto the Lord to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servant, even them that take hold of my covenant, even them will I bring unto my holy mountain, and I'll make them joyful. I love this here. And I'll make them joyful. If you could ever get anybody to step into the kingdom, they'll leave all their sorrows, they'll leave all their shame, they'll leave all their condemnation, and they'll step into a kingdom where the Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy. Hallelujah! Put a smile on your face, child of God. Hallelujah. Peace is joy unspeakable and is full of glory. And I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Oh, in my house. In my house. They won't have a long face. In my house, they won't have sadness. In my house, they'll be joyful. 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 He says, and their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. Why? For my house shall be called a house of prayer for just a few folks. Just one nation of people. Just one particular country. Just one particular race. No, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. All people. All people. All people. All people. I don't care who it is that try to keep you away from God. They can't do it. He said, my altar is going to be for all people. Let me bring a peace to the body of Christ, to you who are sincere about our worship and sincere about our passion to do the will of God. Amen. Just because the church may be all white in their congregation, all black in their congregation, or all other ethnicity in their congregation, does not mean that they are prejudiced. You need to clap your hand on that one. Either you believe that or you don't. But it's the truth. Just because a congregation may be of all one particular race of people does not mean that they are racist or they are prejudiced. But, there's that but again. But if that same congregation, if someone other of another race or of another color can walk into that worship center and cannot feel accepted and cannot find their place in God and cannot feel a sense of equality, then you can say, they got problem. Look at your neighbor and say, it's tight, but it's right. Woo, yeah, it is good. I've been knowing Fred a long time. And I'm so glad to know that Fred ain't dead. Woo! Then again, he is dead. His life is here with God in Christ. Hallelujah. We no longer know him after the flesh, but we know him after the spirit. Praise God. Let me try to wind this up. Well, you see the countenance of Christ's temple over there. They said, we hadn't heard that before, Bishop. You see, in America, as awesome and as wonderful it is, amen, it tries to accommodate and to help its citizens with all the efforts that it possibly can. And so they establish, amen, insurance. Amen. But I'm so glad in the kingdom of God we don't need insurance. We have assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased by God, born of his spirit, and washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only do we have assurance, America has come up with a health care plan. And in this health care, you can get Medicaid, Medicare, you can just get meddled up. But aren't you glad? And I don't put down physician because I know that many of them, out of the sincerity of seeking knowledge and understanding of how to sustain human life, they do all they can to prolong life for humanity. Can you get amen? Yeah. Amen. But I do know there's some of them out there, I believe, put that way. I believe there's some of them out there, amen, that's trying to just trying to keep you hanging on to getting more prescriptions. Their goal ain't to get you well. Because if I get you well, then I lose your monthly payment. But I'm so glad to tell you tonight that he was wounded for our transgressions. Amen. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah! You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be afflicted. You don't have to be infirm. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. I decree and declare right now, every sickness, every infirmity, everything the devil has put against you, you're loose right now. You're free right now. Cancer gotta go. Tumors gotta go. I command high blood pressure. Go! Diabetes? Pack your bags. Now! In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We had a sister came up last week. I don't know if she's here or not. Maybe she didn't make it. But she came up limping. In pain. As I talked with her, coming up the stairways before service, she began to tell me what her situation was. She said that the doctors, after examining my knee, tells me that my cartilage in my knee is gone. And now it's bone. Rubbing bone. And I don't know what that would feel like, but it sounds like it would be very, very painful. As the nerves and the bones, or whatever, all that, you know how God made you. Amen. We're fearfully wonderful. And so she's experiencing this excruciating pain. She came up for prayer, and the Holy Ghost spoke, and God said, I want to do a creative miracle. Oh, glory. A creative miracle. And what do you mean creative? In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be trees. Let there be animals. Let there be plants. And they were created by the spoken word. And so we took authority. In the name of Jesus, I command a cartilage to be replaced and renewed and restored in Jesus' name. And she came to church this morning rejoicing and praising God. Why? Because God has worked a miracle in her life. In this kingdom, we've got the best health plan there is. Woo-wee! Glory!
Hey, man, I don't know about you. I'm 60, sis, but I'm just middle-aged. Huh? I just got to the halfway point. My best days are still in front of me. Come on, somebody. Hello, somebody. I say my best days are still in front of me. I got some more dreams to dream. I got some more mountains to claim. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Here's what God said me to tell you. In this kingdom, the kingdom of God, the key was they that are joined to the Lord. One translation say, those that are glued, those that are clinging to, those that, amen, are stuck to the Lord. Come on, I ain't talking about those folk that can go in and out of church, in and out of the kingdom, like they're going out of Walmart. You know, you don't go to Walmart till you need something. Now, some folk don't come to church till they, but they cleave to the Lord. They're glued to him. He that is joined to a harlot, the Bible says, is one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. When you see me, you see him. Oh, my, my, my. In this kingdom, there's really only one law, and it's a royal law. And you'll find that royal law written in James chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. James 2, 8 and 9 says this: if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. By the law of the kingdom, the royal law, I'm to love my neighbor as myself. But wait a minute. Jesus steps in and said, no, let's change that. Because you're going to have a problem loving somebody like you love yourself. Come on, you're not going to do for another person what you do for yourself. Amen. It's going to be difficult to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So he said, a new commandment I give unto you. A new commandment. What is that new commandment, Jesus? He said, love thy neighbor as I have loved you. Amen. Instead of you being the standard of how to love someone, he said, I will become the standard of how you will love your neighbor. He's saying, when you've been offended, it's difficult for you to love them like you love yourself because they'll hurt you. But if you love them the way I love you, then you'll be able. Because all you got to do is think about what he forgave you for. And when you realize what he forgave you for, then you can turn around and love that person the same way he loved you. Somebody shout the royal law. He said, the royal law says this. He said, if you love your neighbor, he said, you won't steal from them. If you love your neighbor, you ain't got to worry about trying to protect your wife because they won't commit adultery with them. Hello? If you walk in the royal law, you got to worry about nobody lying on you because they won't bear false witness. Walking in love, love, love your neighbor, even as I have loved you. Listen, when you walk in the royal law, it don't matter who moved into your neighborhood. Why they had to pick this house?
Now you walk in love. Why? Because here's an opportunity to put on the last act of love. To show them the love of God that he showed to you when he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Today, in closing, we came and assembled together, and I don't want to sound arrogant or presumptuous or anything of that name, but I just got to believe that God's going to start somewhere. And why not start with us? Why not start with us? If not us, who? If not here, where? If not now? Come on, put your hands together and give God a praise. Huh? Huh? We can show a nation that's being torn apart, a nation that's at frazzle, a nation that's touchy feeling, and a nation that is on edge when it comes down to the race issues. They can't get along. You know why? Because they keep looking in the rearview mirror, not realizing that the driver windows is a lot bigger than the rearview mirror. We got more in front of us than we ever got behind us. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. One thing about the past, you can't change the past, but you can do a whole lot about changing the future. Glory! 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 And God is looking at this final act in Macon-Bibb, Georgia. See, this is called Middle Georgia. They even go on WMAZ, and I hope that's not offensive to you, sister. I love that. Oh, glory. Amen. But on WMAZ, they say that this is the heart of Georgia. Huh? Well, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it cometh the what? The issues, the courses. One translation said, one definition said, the forces. Another one said, it also means boundaries. The boundaries of life. In other words, he's saying, your heart sets the boundaries to how far you're going to go. How much you gonna love somebody? How close will you draw to another people of a different race, a different nationality? How wide will you open your door, your home, to somebody that don't look like you, dress like you? But tonight, everybody say tonight, we came to break the spirit. We came to break the spirit. We came to break the spirit. And somebody said, what spirit, Bishop? The spirit of difference. Listen to this. We're getting ready to pray. Getting out of here. Amen. Rip Kinley, thank you, WGNM. Amen. We love you. We thank God for you. And we was praying for this, for your ministry, for what you're doing in this great city of Macon, Georgia. Amen. We pray that God will give you more viewing audiences. Amen. Your ratings will just go sky high. It will just increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want a brownfield in Macon. I said, what is it? Because out of the heart of Georgia comes the issues of life. And what comes out of the heart affects the whole body. And if Macon is the heart of Georgia, what comes out of Macon can affect the whole state. Yeah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we can set the standard. We can set the boundary. Our theme this year is no limits. Because we serve a God of no limits. Hallelujah. 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 So we're pulling up our stops. We're taking down our barriers. We're taking down our walls. We refuse to let denominational walls stop us. We refuse to let racial walls stop us. We refuse to let social status walls stop us. We're coming together as the